Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. You were tuned in to WGOD Radio. God's always broadcasting. We're tuning into his frequency now. We're going to hear a message, a word now from him. Well, a whole lot of words. This is a sermon I first preached many years ago that I try to preach every year. It's entitled, If and Then. As neurotic as I am, one day, I figured I wanted to put in the word if in my computer, in my Bible program, and see what I found. And boy, was I in for a surprise. What a shocker at how many promises in the Bible are conditional. Matter of fact, practically every promise in the Bible is conditional, except for a few things. Number one, I will never leave you or forsake you. Number two, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Those promises are not conditional. It's not conditional on what kind of week that I'm having, because God is faithful. Praise God. Aren't you grateful for that? But all the other promises, they're conditional. They're conditional on us doing something. Like all seven churches, he gives the same promise. He says, to those that overcome, I will. See, that's conditional on you and I crossing the finish line in faith and being a member of Overcomers Anonymous. That's where we're at here today.
Okay.
We'll wrap up tomorrow. Here's part one of this sermon now, If and Then.
If and then is what we're looking at. If and then, God's conditional promises. Taking a little break in the book of Revelation. And you know, it's funny. You know, I said the other day, or I said last Sunday, well, I think we'll lighten things up a little. And then I got to be looking at this sermon, and you guys are going to just wish we were looking at the sky cracking. By the time we're done with this here today, I thought we're in for a break. Not being in the book of Revelation for the next couple weeks, but we'll see where we land here today. Might not be that way, so. All right, now one day, I took a Bible. Many of you know I am a Bible collector. And I went through it from Genesis to Revelation, and I circled every instance in that Bible that the words if and then were inside of that Bible. As you would imagine, that was quite the project. And I learned a lot. Main point being that every promise in the Bible, except for one, is conditional. The exception is found in two different verses. The first one is Hebrews 13:5 that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The second is found in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, where Jesus says, lo, I am with you. Right. Always. Even until the ends of the world or the ends of the age. Thank God that promise is not conditional. Amen? God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He is with you always. That's good news. There's only one person that God ever forsook, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 tells us the words of the Son of God on the cross. As he cried out, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So God turned his back on his son for a short spell, so that he would never have to do that to you. God cannot look at sin. The Bible says that God laid on his son the iniquity of us all, and he was not going to let anyone see that. That's why it was dark for 3 hours. He wasn't going to let anyone see that, what happened to his son on the cross. And he didn't get it. He didn't understand. And he says, why, for the first time ever, why have you forsaken me like this? He did that to him, so he won't have to do it to you. And he cannot look at sin. Now, I thought it would be interesting to do a sermon or teaching on this recurring theme in the Bible, if and then. I think you'll find it informative and interesting, perhaps eye-opening. So let's follow this string of if and then, and let's find some modern application for us to take home with us when we leave here this morning. Now, you have a lot of these on the handout provided for you on the bulletin. And I do apologize. It might be difficult to follow along in your Bibles, but I will make my best effort to help you do that. Now, I did a search once on a Bible computer program. And for kicks, I put in the word if. God bless you. I put in the word if to see what would happen. And here is the very first time the word if comes up in your Bible. It's back to Genesis, first book, chapter 4, verse 7. God speaking, and he's speaking to Cain. And he says to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, then sin's lying or crouching at your door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. All right, so here's the first time we see the conditional word if. And God is speaking it to the world's first killer, whose name was Cain. If you do well, then will you not be accepted, God told them. This is the first conditional promise in the Bible. The first if in the Bible is a conditional promise of personal victory over sin in your life. That's the first if in the Bible. If you do well, then will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, then you will not be accepted. Matter of fact, God says to him, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Can you picture that? Sin personified. But when I was a kid and I used to watch Creature Features on Saturday night, ask my mother. Boy, would I sleep with the light on as a kid. Anyone ever go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, Saturday nights, with the light on? Your most worst fear of what was under your bed? And yet God says he's crouching. Right behind the door here. Sin is crouching. Sin personified, like some lurking Frankenstein monster waiting for you. But Dr. Frankenstein didn't create this monster. Adam and Eve did as a result of their sin. And now their two children are the one that have to deal with the monster that their parents created. Same as children are forced to today. And you and I as well, some 6,000 years later, have to deal with this monster named sin. Sin's crouching at your door as well. Its desire is the same thing for you, like the Uncle Sam poster. Remember what it said? I want you. Church, this requires a proactive approach on your point. On your part, we have to be proactive with sin. Look, God personifies sin as a person. Meaning, he has a nose and a forehead. And it means I can hurt him. If you're going to call it a person to me, that means I can take you out in the school of hard knocks. God says he's a person, and he's hiding behind this door. Then don't come into my house, friend. We're going to have a problem. I once heard of that story of the little boy, and Satan was under his bed. And Satan kept saying to him, you're not saved. So he opened up his Bible, the Romans 10:13, where it says, all call the name of the Lord will be saved. And he put it under his bed and he said to the devil, read it for yourself. Sin is crouching at your door and you must master it. We have to be proactive. The Esposito School of Hard Knocks, I call it. God says, sin is hiding behind this door, lurking. And now here I come with my gavel, and I'm going to take you out. So your victory over sin is conditional, but you've got the power. God says you must master it. You've got something that Cain didn't have. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said it's the great mystery of the church that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. And he didn't with them, but he does with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's the first conditional promise. Although walking with God and hearing him tell you that you can win this isn't that bad either of an option. What do you think? Right? Now, our next example of God's conditional promise is also found in Genesis chapter 18. Now, here in this text, I believe these are all on this handout here. Yes. Sort of following an order here. Here in this text, Abraham is negotiating with God. It's number 2 on your handout. So the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, then I'll spare the whole place for their sakes. God couldn't find 50 righteous people in Sodom. For that matter, God couldn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom. But the conditional promise remains the same. God will not slay the righteous with the wicked. That's what he says. Even Abraham said that. Far be it from you to slay the righteous with the wicked. Are you going to kill the righteous alongside the wicked? He said, if I find 10 righteous people in here, then I won't wipe this city out. And this holds true for today and forevermore. If the righteous are in the city, then the Lord won't destroy the city without taking care of his own. This is how we know God will remove us before the bad parts of the end of the tribulation. Because it's been established way back here in Genesis that God is not going to treat you the same way he's going to treat unbelievers at the end of the age. He treats you different than he does them. Because God poured out all the judgment on his son so that he wouldn't have to pour it out on you and I. Now here's one from the book of Exodus, from Moses and Pharaoh. It says, the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you which I've brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. If and then. The theme runs from Genesis to Revelation. God's promises to you are conditional. They're conditional. God's best blessings to man are conditional. They're dependent on your obedience to Him. Here's one of my own. If you make this book your life and do what it says, then whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's what he says. Read Psalm 1, Psalm 2. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of scornful. He would be like a tree whose leaf does not wither. And for that matter, the word says as much too. Listen to this promise God gave to Joshua after Moses walked to his own funeral. Number 4 on this handout. God speaking, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, the if is not stated, but it's certainly implied that God's promise of prosperity and success is dependent on you reading this book and taking it to heart and doing what this book says. If you make this your life and do what he says, then remember what the Lord said to the church at Philadelphia. Behold, I set before you an open door that no man can shut. Listen to the word. Let it soak into your spirit. Read it. Take it to heart. Do what he says. And go out here in this evil world and take no prisoners. God's promises to you and I are conditional on doing what he says. What a timely word for today, isn't it? God says to do these two things. Number one, meditate in your Bible in the morning and in the evening. Whatever you can. Do a devotional in the morning. Or if you're an early bird, rise up early. And while you're fresh, spend some quality time with God and in His Word. If you are a night owl, then do the opposite. While the world is sleeping, get out your Bible. Soak in the word. Listen for him to speak to you as you read. And it'll change your life. I guarantee it. Not only that, God guarantees it'll change your life. God warranties your Bible for life. It's a lifetime warranty on it. It's living and active. It never runs out. He'll always keep his promises to you. Read on in this text. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Again, this is Joshua 1:8. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua was about to embark on serious times in his life. And for encouragement and strength, God instructed him to read his Bible. That's what he told him. This is where God speaks to you. Through me, your pastor, and from your Bible and in your personal time with him. Now, here's one last word of advice spoken by David right before he died. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, prove yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. So that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all of their heart and with all their souls, then you will not lack a man on the throne of Israel. These are all conditional, all these promises. Now, for a parting word from the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And try or test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. Now, let me modernize this, since I don't believe that tithing is a New Testament law. But giving is a New Testament principle. I don't believe in picking and choosing my own Old Testament laws I want to follow and get up here and say we're not under the law except when it comes for you to put money in the offering. Nah, I don't believe that. Giving is a New Testament principle. So God is saying, if you give your best, your first fruit, the cream of your crop, to the house of God which you attend on the Lord's day, then I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive what I'm going to do for you. This is your church. You all and me as well keep these doors open on Sunday morning. You ensure the word of God is preached each and every week to everyone who will listen to Pastor Darren or myself. Not only that, God has Island Community Church on his Rolodex. He can send hungry people here that don't have a loaf of bread. You support the Christians in Israel. Now, Bill Steinbrook, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Many of you know Bill. We support him as a missionary. The church is through your tithes. We gave Bill money on Friday. And already with that money, he bought clothing, blankets, and food, and all children's items to everyone that's been displaced by the war. That's from you. This is your church. This is what we are doing with the tithes that come in here to this church. We haven't run out of money yet. And I pray that we never will. Now, allow me once again to insert my own if and then. If you are not giving to the church and to God, then this promise does not apply to you. He's talking to someone else. He's not talking to you. He's talking to those that are obedient, those that follow this word and what he says. If you give to God the first fruits of what you have, the cream of your crop, if you do that, then God is going to bless your socks off with so much, you're not going to have room in your house to fit it all. Now, I don't believe in Old Testament laws applying today, but I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. You can't outgive God. Have you not noticed that? If you're not giving to God and to the church and this church where you all attend and are fed, then he's not talking to you. He's talking to those of us that do that. Now, you don't ever hear me preach on money in this church, and I'm not going to. Reminds me once again of Cain and Abel. Both gave an offering. One was accepted and was given from the heart. Irregardless of how much he gave, it didn't matter how much money that Abel gave. What matters is he gave it from the heart. The other offering from Cain was not accepted. Neither was his person, the Bible says, accepted. Okay, onward to the New Testament. Fascinating, isn't it? Have you learned anything yet? I have. Be gods, and the sky's the limit. I'm not even going to make a cell phone joke like I normally would. That's all right. Isn't that right, Fred? That's coming next. Number 5 on your handout. We're in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you." Wow, what a verse that is. If and then. If you don't forgive that person that hurt you all those years ago, that son, that daughter, that brother, that former best friend, that ex-wife, that ex-husband, that father, that mother-in-law, that ex-son-in-law that hurt your family. If you do not forgive, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Who wants to be back in the book of Revelation now, watching the sky falling? Yeah, a lot more comfortable, isn't it? Because that doesn't apply to you. That doesn't apply to you. God's forgiveness of you is conditional. And whether you like it or not, he uses your yardstick. Whether you like it or not. Friend, the act of forgiving is for your benefit, not theirs. Holding on to unforgiveness, I once heard Larry Lamb say this. You guys remember him, the 7-foot-tall guy preaching here? He said, holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.